This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The stories we've been doing the past couple of weeks about water, it's our series called The High Price of Cheap, has been mostly about water used in one way or another for consumption, drinking water, agriculture, and irrigation. Today, well, we're going to do what happens on the other end. And when I say it's not a pretty picture, I'm not even talking about what you think I'm talking about. From Baltimore, Maryland, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
First, a warning. This story is a little icky.
You know, you can see that toilet paper around the rim and maybe like a latex glove.
I'm in Baltimore's Gwynn's Run Stream with Michael Flores of the nonprofit Blue Water Baltimore. He's giving me what he calls his sewer tour. The city pipes are so old and cracked that rainwater gets in. The sewers fill up and the contents spit out the manhole covers and into streams.
You can smell it. You can see the sort of the bluish, whitish, cloudy flow of the stream that's totally unnatural and looks just like raw sewage.
Which dumps directly into Baltimore Harbor.
That includes a whole sort of mix of different nasties, waterborne diseases like hepatitis and staph and cryptosporidium.
Chances are your city has the same issues. You've heard about bridges collapsing. Well, this is the invisible infrastructure crisis below. Baltimore's story goes back a century. And it begins, sorry, with a putrid harbor. Here's one newspaper's olfactory description.
It is a 2,000-horsepower smell that lays Limburger cheese in the shade.
Urban historian Chris Boone wrote an academic paper on Baltimore sewer history. He's dean of sustainability now at Arizona State.
Baltimore Harbor was the toilet of the city. Everything would flow down into the harbor. So everything that was coming from overflowing cesspools or privies.
Translation, outhouses and human waste pits.
Everything that was coming from the streets.
But Baltimore had no money to build a sewer system. Couldn't raise it, couldn't borrow it. Private interest opposed change. Sound familiar? Then came the Great Baltimore Fire. In 1904, one of the worst fires in U.S. urban history torched 1,500 buildings downtown. The crisis created opportunity.
That fire, what it did, similar to the Chicago Fire of 1871, I think gave the city and also residents a chance to rethink, how do we regrow the city in a way that was even greater than before?
They found the resources. Lawmakers put up money, the voters approved a bond initiative, and Baltimore built a state-of-the-art sewer system completed exactly 100 years ago. Out went the stink, and in came thousands of miles of pipes. Typhoid was eradicated. Now, to understand this progress, you have to step inside the system's treatment plant.
All the Baltimore County and Baltimore City, when they flush, that's what is coming in.
Plant engineer Dan Latova shows me raw sewage entering a pipe 7 feet in diameter. It floats past a series of bars, like jail cell bars, to separate out the debris.
Those bars, they protect the 2x4s and all that not to come through, that's all.
Oh, otherwise it's
sometimes your bicycle come through.
Yeah, sometimes mice come through. Then it goes into a tank for, here come the euphemisms, settling sludge and removing solids. The plant removes chemicals and nitrogen and then bleaches and dechlorinates the water before sending it back out into the river. It's amazing what you get for your sewer bill. That is, when the pipes work. 100 years later, as one industry person put it, it's like inheriting your great-grandfather's car. Replacing all this will cost an estimated $1 trillion nationwide.
It's like a time bomb. This old infrastructure, we know it's going to fail. The question is where and when.
Rudy Chow runs the Baltimore Public Works Department. Jackhammers throughout the city are digging up streets to replace collapsed pipes. The oldest are made of wood and terracotta. The feds are imposing clean water deadlines. It all costs money that Baltimore doesn't have. It's lost 300,000 taxpayers and ratepayers to urban flight in a generation. Again, historian Chris Boone.
There was no anticipation of deindustrialization, no anticipation of riots in the 1960s or the crack cocaine epidemic of the 1980s. All these things, and then the suburbanization of individuals looking for better schools, none of that was in the cards.
The other problem? The city didn't charge high enough rates to maintain the system. Economist David Zetlin is author of Living with Water Scarcity.
Politicians always complain we can't raise prices because we'll get political opposition. The most common problem with the water system is that they're not taking enough money in to pay for the system repair and maintenance that matters over a 50-year cycle.
And now, Public Works Director Chow says the bill is due.
Raising the water rates is inevitable. I think it's going to continue, but it really comes down to the pace of increases.
Baltimore's plan is to spend more public money on preventive replacement and less on emergencies. Now, the challenge is to hike rates, to go to the people and convince them of the miracle that occurs when you flush. But change will not come fast or easy. In Baltimore, try to win over 40-something Danielle Miles. Last spring in a downpour, she drove home after work.
I noticed the sanitary sewer manhole had water coming up, and at that point in time, I knew that my basement was flooded.
Flooded for the third time in 3 years. Every big rain, the neighborhood sewer system fails. Miles walked in, went down the basement, and she saw.
Raw sewage all throughout. It was maybe about a foot?
Yeah.
One step. And it was just rising.
She put on her rain boots and waded over to the source, the bathroom.
Just pouring out of my toilet. It was coming up in my stand-up shower, gushing up.
One street over, an upright freezer was floating upside down in the home of Anita Moore and her parents. Wedding albums were destroyed.
My parents been married for 58 years, and you can't replace any of those photos and all our baby pictures.
All gone.
We still have marks on the wall, everything.
Now the rainy season is coming again, and she has no idea if anything's fixed. Now the city says, yes, it is in the long-term strategy. This is the price of a century of neglect, and it may take another crisis on the order of a city burning down to get the public's attention again. In Baltimore, Maryland, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.